Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
In your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. We'll begin there in just a few moments. Hebrews chapter 6, it is good to see everyone here. I know many are under the weather and not able to be with us, but it's always a great time to worship God together, especially as we've been going through this series. We'll begin looking at this third in the series of seven hopes that are described in Ephesians chapter 4, the seven ones, rather, one hope. And before we do that, to help us prepare our minds, I've appreciated so much the songs that have focused us on hope. And one of the newer songs that we've been learning does that as well. And so if you would, let's sing Ancient Words together before we begin our study this evening. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words that give us hope. We're going to be thinking about the one hope that Paul discusses when he's writing to the church at Ephesus, and we're going to be looking at several different passages in Scripture that deal with that idea. I know it hasn't been too many months ago. We explored the idea of hope in Scripture, and one of the reasons it's important to do that is because sometimes we miss the importance of hope. We're familiar with the triad there of faith, hope, and love. And sometimes we think a lot about love and maybe a lot about faith, but somewhere along the way, if we're not careful, hope can get left out. And so it's always good for us to re-examine what hope gives us and to see what hope we find in Scripture. In 1981, there was a man who stood before a class of sixth graders in East Harlem. And Eugene Lang was standing in front of them, and he'd been asked to speak to them, Eugene Lang being a businessman that had made millions of dollars, and was trying to say something encouraging to these students. Many of them had come from difficult situations, difficult backgrounds. He knew what the dropout rate was. He knew not many were going to graduate, and so he struggled with exactly what he would say or what he could do that would really be helpful. And finally, he just put away his notes. He had notes that he'd prepared. He just put those away. And he said, "If you will stay in school, I will help pay your tuition to go to college." That was a pretty incredible offer. In fact, some of you may be wishing someone had come into your sixth grade class and made that offer to help pay your tuition. There were 69 students that were there. 90% of those students graduated from high school. And it was really interesting in an interview that Parade Magazine did years ago, there was a quote from one of those students that said, "I knew I had something to look forward to, something waiting for me. It was a golden feeling." And that quote really struck me. That idea of being given something to look forward to. There was something beyond just the difficult circumstances. A golden feeling. That's the power that hope gives us. And it's easy in the world that we live in to be pretty discouraged. We see some discouraging things. Some of you may work in situations where there are some discouraging things happening. And it's all you can do by the time you get home just to eat dinner and kind of try to relax and put those things behind you. But then you're up the next morning and dealing with some of those really discouraging issues. It may be that there are things happening in your home that aren't the way you'd like for them to be. And you're working on that and you're working on those relationships. But it can be really tough. It can be discouraging. Or you're walking into a classroom, or you're walking down the hallway at school, and everyone else seems to be having a great time, and everything seems to be going well, but for you it's really discouraging. At times like that, we need hope. And it's interesting that humanity has always yearned for a hope that was beyond the here and now. In fact, if we look through at some of the ancient writings that we have, Plato is credited with having this idea of a place called Atlantis. It was this beautiful city that was engulfed by the sea. And so we've heard stories about the lost city of Atlantis since then. There's some desire for something outside the here and now. In fact, years later, Sir Francis Bacon would use that same name to describe a place he envisioned. He envisioned a place called the New Atlantis, which was a distant island. And it was this distant island where all the economic problems would be solved. It was kind of a paradise. It was kind of a place where everything would be as it should be. Thomas More also wrote about a distant land where all the problems were solved and people got along and there weren't the kinds of fights and wars that took place. He described it as utopia. And we think about that term being used for an ideal setting, a utopia, a dream where everything is perfect. There's a hunger inside every human being for a hope that extends beyond this world. And when we read Scripture, we find out why that hunger is there. It's because there is a hope that's offered to us, and it's offered by God. It's not a new thing to long for hope, but it is important for me to understand what Scripture has to say about it. And before we read this passage in Hebrews chapter 6, I'd like to remind us of just one more thing. And that is, when we think of the term hope today, it's often a very tenuous kind of term. It's a word that's used to describe someone who might not have much of a chance at achieving a goal, but maybe he has one hope, or she has one last hope. Maybe there's a hope this could possibly happen. And yet, as we look through Scripture, the term that's translated hope is not just a wish, but it's an expectant desire. It's an expectation that something is going to happen. It's more solid than something flimsy or something, well, maybe I kind of hope this will happen and hopefully this will take place. It's a solid expectation. In fact, when we look at it, that term being used in the Old Testament, it's often used synonymously to describe trust or faith. In other words, hope is just as solid as trusting in God and having faith that something is going to happen. And so we'll begin reading in Hebrews chapter 6. We'll start earlier, verses 17 through 20 are on the screen, but I'm going to start in verse 9, just so we'll have some context as to what the Hebrews author is saying here. "But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name, in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end." Now, what will that assurance of hope do? Verse 12 tells us, "So that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Let's pause right there for a moment. If I'm assured of hope, I'm going to act differently. I'm going to live differently. In verse 13, we find out when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, "I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you." And so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath is given as confirmation, is the end of every dispute. In the same way God, desiring even more to show the heir to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of His purpose, He interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. I know this passage is a kind of an in-depth passage, and it can get wordy at times for us to understand what's taking place. But I'd like to pause and realize that the same God that made a promise to Abraham is making a promise to His people. And the Hebrews author says it's impossible for Him to lie. And you take refuge in the strong encouragement to take hold of the hope that is set before us. Verse 19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. We just sang about that. An anchor of the soul. A hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, as we think about the terms that the Hebrews author is using, we see a comparison to the old law. So when we read about entering into the veil and the high priest, he's using an imagery that would have been very powerful for those who had grown up in the Jewish faith. They understood the importance of a high priest. They understood the importance of having someone who could go before as an advocate and as a mediator. And all throughout the book of Hebrews, you see these comparisons, how Christ fulfills these things that existed in the Old Testament. Christ is the perfect mediator. He is the perfect high priest. In other words, this once and for all sacrifice is filling the role of these things that they had in the Old Testament, but doing it in a way that no one else ever could. And so we're reminded of the hope that is set before us. We don't know a lot about the author of Hebrews. That's uncertain. We don't know very much about the situation in which the book was written. But chapter 10 tells us that there evidently had been some kind of struggle. There had been some kind of conflict that had taken place. And so in dealing with whatever conflict had happened in the past, we're reminded of a hope to take hold of. And think about just the terms used in this passage. Things that are unchangeable. A hope that is steadfast and sure and an anchor. That's something solid. That's not something flimsy. That's not something that might hold up and it might not. This is something truly solid. I love the idea of an anchor as an image of hope. Because I love to think of what it's like for a boat or for a ship to drop anchor. And even if the waters get choppy, there's something about having the anchor there that's going to keep the boat moored in that one place, that it's going to be settled. And when the waves get choppy around us, there's an anchor that's going to keep us in one place, that's going to let us hold on. So tonight I want us to ask two questions, thinking about this passage and others like it that talk about hope. First of all, what gives us hope? How is it that we can have hope? That student described that golden feeling that gets us beyond what we've got to do today and what we've got to do this week and what we've got to do this month. It is so easy to fall into the routine of just waking up every morning and saying, okay, I've got to make it through the day. And I've got to make it down my to-do list, and I've got the schedule of where everyone needs to be dropped off. And so we've got the school schedule and the work schedule, and then after school we've got all the practices and all the different places, and we're coordinating who's going to be where, and by the end of the day we're just gearing up to get ready for tomorrow. There's something beyond that. What gives us that hope? We live in a world where it is easy to feel hopeless. It's easy to look around and to look at the incredible need, just the need in our own country for people to know the gospel. Just the need in our own country to solve problems that we face. Those who are going hungry, those that we want to help and we want to show kindness to, even in our own community. And it can be overwhelming and we wonder, where do we even start? It can feel hopeless. And those of you that have gone on mission trips know what it's like to get off the plane and to walk into a totally different culture. And maybe to see a whole different nation and wonder, how can I get the message of Jesus Christ across to so many people? It's almost overwhelming. We might even think about the standards of morality today and maybe where they're headed. And it can be frightening to think about what's going to happen one or two or three generations from now? And it can feel hopeless, but I want to remind us that we don't have to live without hope. We don't have to live and endure life as those who have no hope. Because maybe we should ask a different question, not just what gives us hope. Maybe we should ask the question, who gives us hope? Because time and time again in Scripture, we're told exactly who it is that gives us a hope that we can hold on to. The Hebrews author mentioned Jesus that goes before us. Here's the way Peter describes it in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. As he's describing Jesus Christ, he says, according to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. How is that living hope possible? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And he goes on to describe what an incredible inheritance that is. How do we have this living hope? We have it because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us hope. We sang about that as well. One of my favorite songs growing up, and still is, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." There's a hope that's found in Jesus, and that's why it's so important to share that message with others. Because there's not going to be a hope that will last anywhere else. That may be basic. That may be something that you've known your whole life. But it's worth reminding ourselves that if I walk through life as if I don't have any hope, and I don't have anything to look forward to, and I don't have anything good that's going on in my life, I might look like people around me. I might look like sort of the average everyday person just trying to think about getting through the day. But if I really want to look like a Christian, I'll be thinking about the hope that it lies beyond my daily agenda and my weekly agenda and my monthly routine, a hope that lies beyond this life. That's a motivator for me. Who gives us hope? Jesus gives us hope. He gives us hope there's a life after this one. We see that in the way He not only lived His life and what He taught and the kingdom He was pointing towards that was spiritual, but in the fact that He was raised from the dead. Not only that, but Peter describes that inheritance that's going to be eternal. And I've got a guarantee of that because I know that Jesus was raised from the dead and that He said there was something beyond this life. He said we have hope. So we know who gives us hope, but what does hope give us? Why is it so important? We can understand maybe a little bit more easily what love could give us or what faith gives us. But hope, how is that distinguished in Scripture? And so we think through some of the different things hope gives us. Hope can encourage us. Have you ever been just incredibly down and discouraged? If you've ever needed encouragement, let me just remind you of what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 12. He was describing how he could be so bold. He said, "Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech, and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away." Again, here's another allusion to something in the Old Testament. Paul is reminding them of what happened to Moses when he gazed on just a glimpse, not even the full glory of God, but just the glimpse that God allowed him to see. His face was glowing. He had to wear a veil to cover over that because he didn't want to frighten the Israelites. And Paul's saying, well, that's not like us. We're bold. Why are we bold? Why are we able to be bold with our message? Because we have a hope. And earlier in that chapter, he described that hope, that glory that comes from Christ Jesus. How could he be so bold in a culture that was so set against in so many ways what he was standing for? How could he be so bold when he was writing to Christians who were wrapped up with so many different challenges? Because he knew the glory of Jesus Christ. He had hope in Christ. And it is very, very challenging for us to be bold in a world that seems to be a lot like first century Corinth. It seems like the things that we want to stand for as Christians aren't very popular. They may even get us sort of shouted down by opponents. It may even draw some fire from those who say, "Well, wait a minute, I don't like what you're standing for. I don't like what you're saying." How can we be bold? We can be bold because we have hope in Jesus Christ. It gives us encouragement, and hope gives us certainty. Sometimes we struggle with being sure and being certain, even when difficult things are happening. But look at the way Paul describes this process in Romans chapter 5. He says something that seems out of the ordinary because he says, "We also exult in our tribulations." And the church at Rome would have understood that, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint. Have you ever waited really long for something and then it turned out to be disappointing? Maybe it was a movie you were waiting for to come out. You'd heard about this movie, it's going to be so great. You go see the movie and it's just kind of a disappointment. It's kind of a letdown. Or maybe it's a book that everyone said was really great and you read the book and it's kind of a letdown. Or maybe there's a hobby that you've wanted to try and your friends have said this is great and you go and you really just don't enjoy it as much as they do. It's kind of a tough feeling when you get so worked up for something and your expectations are so high and then it's kind of a letdown. Paul tells us that hope is not going to disappoint us. Tribulations are difficult. And tribulations will lead to perseverance, and perseverance doesn't come easy. And perseverance will lead to proven character, and proven character is not without challenges. But it will eventually lead to a hope, a steadfast hope, and it doesn't disappoint. Why doesn't that disappoint? Because we have the love of God that's been poured out within our hearts. Because it's from God. Why does it not disappoint? Because God's given it to us. And God is not in the business of making things that will disappoint us on an eternal scale. If God says this won't disappoint me, that this hope will help me endure and help me sustain, then I can trust Him. I can believe Him. It's an interesting equation for Paul to say that tribulation could actually lead to something positive. And we know that that doesn't make tribulations any easier to bear. It doesn't make challenges any easier to bear, but it does remind us that there is hope. That we do have a glimpse of that golden feeling that lets us know there's something beyond this life. I believe hope also gives us strength. We see that in a few different places. I'll just share a couple of passages. Back in the book of Hebrews, we see another reference to Moses. And kind of one of those descriptions about how something in the Old Testament is fulfilled ultimately by Christ. Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. So Moses is leading up to something, but now in verse 6, Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are His house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and are boasting in our hope. We hold fast to that confidence in our hope, and it gives us strength. Or Colossians chapter 1 in verse 3, when Paul would say that we always thank God when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints. And why are you showing that love? Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. That hope not only gives us encouragement and certainty, but it gives us strength. It gives us strength when we don't want to keep going, when we don't feel like continuing to live the Christian life, when we get in the midst of a struggle where it's just hard to see even beyond 10 feet in front of us, hope can give us strength. If you've ever been a part of a team that's had practice, you know what it feels like to practice in a time when you don't feel like it. You know what it feels like to train during a time when you don't feel like it. And there's got to be something that gives you strength. And if you're training for a specific event, if you're training to run in a race, you know that that race being out there, that gives you the strength to keep going through the training program. You might not feel like it physically, but you remind yourself of your goal. And so here, when we think about our hope, the hope that's laid up for us, that gives us the strength to endure the things that can be very difficult. It gives us strength to weather some storms in life. G. Campbell Morgan used to tell the story of a man whose entire business was lost in the great Chicago fire years ago. And he comes up to sort of the charred remains of his storefront. And he sees the embers of what used to be the place of business for him. And he goes and he gets a table. And that morning he sets out a very simple sign that said, "Everything lost except wife, children, and hope. Business will resume as usual tomorrow morning." The idea of not losing hope even in the midst of difficult circumstances. Who gives us hope? Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ. And how do we get blessings from that hope? What does hope give us? It can encourage us. It gives us certainty as to our future. And it can also give us strength to endure what we're dealing with now. I like the story that's told about Winston Churchill after the Second World War. You know what kinds of things he would have had to deal with as Prime Minister during such a difficult time. And even when things looked the darkest, he would continue to help his people endure. And after the war, a reporter asked what his country's greatest weapon had been. And he replied this way, "It was what England's greatest weapon has always been, hope." What is our greatest weapon? How are we going to endure? Well, hope will do that. And if you're here tonight wondering what your future holds, maybe there's some uncertainties in your life, uncertainty about where you will work, about where you will live, and you're so uncertain and so overwhelmed by that that you just feel hopeless, can I encourage you? There is hope. The message of Scripture is there is hope. And if you're here tonight and when you heard the word tribulation read out of Romans, you've identified with that because that's where you are. And you're in the middle of a difficult time and you're struggling. Can I tell you, there is hope. And if you're here and you're seeking to find meaning in life, maybe you're really feeling the sense, and it's hard to put your finger on it, but you're questioning things and you're wondering about life and you're searching for meaning. Can I tell you, there is hope. The message of Scripture is that there is hope over and over and over again. We don't need to leave here hopeless because we can have a confident expectation, not a flimsy kind of wish that maybe something could happen, but we can have confidence in the Lord that created us, in the God that has given us a way in which we can spend an eternity with Him. And if you want to make that hope yours tonight, you can do that. If you need to come forward, if you need to put Him on in baptism and begin walking in the life that's living after that hope, you can do that. It may be that you've lost sight and are beginning to feel hopeless. We're all there at one point or another. And we were not saved to walk this life alone. When God designed the church, He gave us brothers and sisters that can support us. And if you feel hopeless this evening, this is the best possible time to come forward and to make that known when you're surrounded by brothers and sisters who want to encourage you and want to pray with you and for you. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and as we sing together.
To its brain.